Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is our News and Cues episode for the week. We'll be talking news and taking some great questions from listeners. I can't wait to talk about both of those things, Ken.
I can't wait either. I always look at the questions and start getting prepared and making some notes, and I love when a good question makes me go, oh my gosh, I don't know. And look, so all of your questions are great. We look forward to those and the news. But before we get to all that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. All the formats are represented. Before we get on to the news and those cues, we always like to catch up with Star Wars and life adventures. Joseph, I want to hear all your adventures. I saw some of your Instagram photos, but I think we should start with, quite frankly, sad news, but something we here at Force Center want to acknowledge and pay our respects to, right?
That's right. Yeah, we wanted to just mention the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Obviously, Chadwick Boseman never did any Star Wars, sadly, but it does feel like, I think for myself, not only the whole sort of Disney family of this modern era of Lucasfilm and Marvel being owned by them, but for me, I think as a person who grew up with comic books and grew up with Star Wars, and those things were kind of, accepted, but also made for some social challenges to grow up into this era where all of these pop culture genre things I love are are really the height of popular culture, and they're celebrated and they're loved by so many people. Sometimes I feel towards all of it like it is all connected. So even though this is a Star Wars podcast, it felt right to me in my heart to just acknowledge that just a terrible loss, but also just acknowledging so much of what has been said about him and celebrated about him, that I think who he portrayed on the screen and who he clearly was in his real life exemplifies a lot of the things that we talk about in sort of the morality tale part of Star Wars, that somebody who was clearly had talent, had power, and wanted to use it, wanted to share it with the world, and wanted to share it with the world in a way that was positive and inspiring. And as we all learned, that he made all of these amazing films, did all of these amazing performances, and then, you know, toured with press junkets and visited suffering people in hospitals and did all of that while he himself was suffering, is so selfless, honestly, that there was just not only his sort of connection to the larger genre world for me and how I feel about it, but also just that I think he as a human clearly exemplified so many of the values that I want to take from Star Wars and from the MCU and from a lot of the other storytelling that I love. So I just wanted to take a moment to both mourn and celebrate him, and also wanted to get your thoughts and insights, Ken.
Yeah, first of all, in terms of just acknowledging it here, you're right. We always sometimes, especially me, can look at MCU and we're like, well, I'm more of a Star Wars fan. Without Marvel making those big pictures in the MCU, there is no interest in bringing Star Wars back to life. I just don't think that happens, or very, it'd be very slim chance. So yes, we are connected as Star Wars fans and Marvel fans, and the loves are often shared. So I do consider Chadwick Boseman part of, like I said, the Disney family, if there could be a corporate family there. blown away, saddened like everyone else. I said this a little bit on the Afternoons podcast this weekend. First of all, respect to his family and friends who lost someone. They would trade any insights and inspirations just to have them still here, without a doubt. But I will choose to celebrate what he has brought. And also, I really think, man, I have these kind of beliefs. I do believe, looking at the roles he played and the importance of them, Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, a pioneer in his own right, and other great roles. But then going into Black Panther, who, as you said, Joseph, these characters, these comic book characters in these movies are so big now, they might as well be historical figures. For him to get to portray those, I don't think was coincidence. I think he was called to those roles to explore these very real people who went through amazing challenges and trials and obstacles to make their mark on history. And I think he brought life to them, and then brought life to Black Panther in the way he wanted, for the bigger cause. And I just don't think that's a coincidence. And to me, I take joy in hearing and reading all the stories, even with tears in my eye. Coogler's message was powerful, but all the little things, and even like someone like Coogler going, I didn't know. And that was Boseman's choice to do that. We'll never really truly know. But I think there is also a little bit of, I have a mission. I have a something that I have to put out there in life. And I'm comforted by the fact that he is more than his IMDb credits. His legacy will continue to grow. We don't know what 7 or 8 year old watching Black Panther today will change the world tomorrow because of the entire team and the entire movie. But that doesn't happen without Boseman showing up in the other pictures and giving Marvel the confidence to be like, yeah, we can center a movie around this guy. I think that's important, and that's where I'll choose to celebrate. But yeah, sad, shocked, like everyone. We was watching a live event Friday night on YouTube when it broke, and it just took the wind out of the room, because everyone just got punched. And actors and people, you know, we're all just humans, and this just kind of proves it. But anyways, that's kind of where I choose to go, Joseph. So what a legacy, what an impact, and absolutely love and positive thoughts to his family and those he leaves behind.
Yeah, I think a lot of really great thoughts. And I think the thing that you said that's really going to stick with me is obviously so much just tragedy and loss and pain right now, particularly for family and those close to him. But I do in searching for the light side of tragedy, I really look forward to, you know, however many years from now, probably not that many at all, when someone else is just blowing the world away and giving interviews and saying, yeah, no, I'm here because of Chadwick Boseman. I look forward to feeling the joy of those moments.
Yeah, and it'll happen. So Chadwick Boseman, we salute you in a Force Center way. That said, Joseph, as tough as the world can be and always has been, but it just seems to be even worse these days. It's always a good, healthy thing to take solace in something wonderfully silly as Star Wars, but amazingly comforting, and also just life itself. I start with you, sir, because I looked at your Instagram page this weekend and I did my little swing through check and I went, ah, yes, Joseph and Sarah made a right decision this weekend.
Yeah, we went to Descanso Gardens, which is a big, I don't even know the right word. Gardens is the right word, but it's a big, it's not even a park. It's just a rich guy bought up a bunch of land and then said, hey, what if I planted a bunch of awesome stuff? And then eventually gave it to, I believe, the county. Anyway, it's basically the woods. It's the woods in town that you can go to, and they're selling themed cocktails. There's a ton of masks are mandatory, but there's a ton of space, so you can be far away from other people, take your mask down, take a sip. So yeah, it's just great to relax in the woods with some gin. Some other friends of mine have been discussing, there's this great art installation right now too, where they have speakers hidden through a part of the gardens. And at different hours, there's this thing that's just been composed that's supposed to be there in the park, and it can be really eerie and fun because you'll just be walking through and you're like, am I so peaceful that I'm hearing random new age music? Like, oh no, that's a speaker. But it ranges from really tinkly, really whooshy, new age, relax, you know, retreat into yourself and become the universe kind of thing. But there's some sections that sound a lot like the music during Palpatine's box of manipulation scene. So I was really enjoying sitting there looking at all the great, beautiful, twisty trees and hearing the ooh, so creepy and weird. And like, is Palpatine in the woods? Great.
Yeah. Did you turn to Sarah and say, have you ever heard this tragedy?
Next time. So yeah, that was a great adventure. How about yourself? I didn't see any Instagram adventures unless I missed them. What did you do?
Different podcast, different conversation. I have not posted on Instagram since May and intend not to till January. Why? I don't know why, Joseph. I don't know why.
It's just a goal.
I just have, it's some self-care for myself, but that's a different conversation. But it's seen photos like you that go, yeah, you know, it's I love reliving those memories of even just, oh yeah, that's right, in January I was out in the world. Oh, in March I was in Vegas. Busy week, and you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. You're spinning plates just trying to survive. We're all just trying to make enough ducats to buy some donuts at 7-Eleven, and that's what it's been. But it's always nice to just get to pause and enjoy the silly things in life. And Grace and I got to do that. And I don't encourage this behavior, everyone. I really don't. I picked up a new rum, not a new rum. It's Captain Morgan Cannonball Rum that comes in a bottle that's shaped like a cannonball, Joseph. How can you not buy that?
Wow.
And again, I know this is probably not necessarily new, but I just looked on the shelf at my local liquor store that I always go to. And I was like, what is this? I apparently didn't look at the content of the bottles, what it made it. And it is a cannonball to your head. So I ended up having, again, I do not encourage this. I also have friends who are recovering alcoholics. Out of respect, I don't encourage crazy drinking. I unintentionally got blitzed.
Oh, Saturday really?
You did that thing where you're like, I think I am drunk. This was not in the plans. I discovered this when I went to take one of my chihuahuas outside to the bathroom, and I almost fell over trying to put her down on the ground. So I say this only because it was an unintentional form of unhealthy, but self-care, where I just was able to turn off my mind, Joseph, for like 10, 15 minutes and laugh.
I understand the cannonball snuck up on you.
Yes. I don't encourage this, especially you young listeners. Take it from Uncle Ken. Not a good way to live life, especially if you're a comic. But it was one of the only moments this week I was able to turn off my brain and I appreciated it. So
no, that's good. I'm glad you got a moment of cannonball inspired.
Yeah, I felt like I was hanging out in Jabba's palace.
Yeah, it's because some of those guys are pretty far gone.
Oh, absolutely. You can't tell me Dengar doesn't spend 80% of his time just blitzed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's why he's got the wrapping from accidents he's had while drinking, space cannonball rum.
You don't choose to become Rothgar Den on a sober. All right. We're on to you, Dengar. We'll help you get to where you need to be. Anyways, I know that was probably the weirdest Star Wars life adventure I've ever shared, but it is true, and it's where I'm at. There we go. All right, let's get to some Star Wars news that don't involve rum, and as far as we know. News this week, well, this, we should say, Joseph, was going to be the Star Wars Celebration week, and a lot of great positive memories shared. I don't know, maybe I could have included that in my Star Wars adventures and not encouraged drinking, but it was fun to kind of just go back and relive the memories of Chicago or even just Star Wars celebrations in the past. It just was a good point to look at it, and that was a big positive takeaway for the weekend, as we got a lot of news, and maybe not the news everyone wanted or expected, Joseph, but we got a lot of video games, some toy news, and we're going to dive in there. So I don't know. I'll start with that. That's a weird off the planned questions there, Joseph. did you get lost in little lamentations of celebrations gone?
Absolutely. I forgot about this with my Star Wars adventures. I was too entranced with hearing Palpatine music in the woods. Thursday or Friday, I wanted to post something of like, oh, I'm sad I'm not at Celebration. I ended up picking a picture of myself with a great Palpatine cosplayer like a creepy Palpatine mask. But no, I scrolled through every one of my photos, and I have way too many photos. It's obscene. I'm not even going to say how many thousands of photos I have on my phone, because I don't delete. I need to learn to let go of photos. I scrolled through everything, Ken, from like funny things I saw at the airport to every action figure to both of our hotel rooms that you and I stayed at.
That's where we had two, yes.
Everything, and had just such a joyful time remembering every aspect of it, from being at the panels to looking at the action figures to talking to fans. So yeah, no, I definitely did have a big trip down memory lane, and it was, really wishing that we could be there now, but hopeful for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mourn conventions, do not miss them. Do not. No, no, but it's fun. Yeah, no, I had that too. And then, traveling around a convention or just traveling with you is always a little fun, because there are all those moments where you'll whip out your phone and take a picture. And you'll be like, what are you taking a picture of? Oh, it's just it's like a flag on a wall in a weird way. And you're going to have a great comment about it. Yeah, I know what you mean. You probably get thousands of those. No, a lot of fun. Those are some of the best moments. You and I had a lot of fun at Chicago, a lot of things we did and accomplished, and got to meet a lot of nice people. And it's great to meet listeners in person and feel loved and appreciated. No doubt about that. But I think some of my favorite moments are you and me just going around the floor like 12-year-olds and sharing, maybe making an eye contact like, oh God, do you see that plush Ewok? Or, oh my gosh, look at that. I haven't seen that since the 80s. Or hearing you say, I need to go back over there. I'm pretty sure this figure and me going, yeah, take a look, because I'm going to go stare at this poster I'm not going to buy, but I want. Yeah, those are some of the fun memories where you get to just kind of be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. No, it was absolutely great, because it did cover the gamut from, getting to do shows, getting to cover panels, to just absolutely being a fan. And all of it was delightful. And it was great fun to relive.
Yeah, and that's more valuable than the news that comes out of the conventions. But we did get some news. GamesCon actually happened virtually this weekend, and the LEGO Skywalker Saga game trailer was released, and also the release date was moved, I'd say quietly, but people know about it. But it was like, look at this trailer. Also, this now comes out in spring. Whatever, that's the sign of the times. A trailer getting a lot of love, Joseph. All over our Discord, it was talked about a lot of the Force Center Discord page. Just people loved the lines, images, the music, the porgs. What did this trailer make you feel, sir?
Oh, man, it really hit me hard, I think, for a lot of the reasons that I suspect other fans are being affected by it. Just that even though it's Lego, even though it's comedy, that sense of seeing the whole Skywalker saga together And that music and just that feeling of it is all connected. And I love all of these moments, some of them newer, some of them older. So it affected me from that. Like, it's all connected, the Force theme kind of thing. But then it also really affected me from the perspective of how much I like the Lego comedy of Star Wars, because it sometimes pushes the envelope, but it's always joyful. It is never mocking. It always feels like, you know how you just kind of in your gut instinctively know, like somebody who is in the community or in a family who is lovingly poking fun at something versus making a snarky joke to point out why it sucks. The Lego jokes, even when they're making fun of things that are weird in the movie, like, you know, or in the story of Star Wars, like there's that shot of Han and Greedo shooting at each other point blank range over the table. Mm. It always feels loving. It always feels like we are poking fun at this thing that we love. We are not trying to prove to anyone why a mistake was made in the Skywalker saga, you know?
Yes, I very much know that. Yes, I've grown tired of the snark. Yeah, because it just used to be, you know, the Muppet Babies was the first time in Hardware Wars where I was like, I love this thing. And I love things kind of mentioning how much they love this thing while also poking at it, you know, versus the snark that can run rampant. Yeah, and I think you're right. That Greedo Han moment comes to mind. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my main reaction to it.
Yeah. Yeah, same for me. And good use of the music, good use of the Rise of Skywalker kind of trailer music. It's interesting because I love the art of the trailer and how they've grown and changed over the years. And it's fascinating. I always make the jokes of, you know, go back and watch the first Pink Panther trailer. And there's the announcer going, here's David Niven in a very great scene. Let's watch it now. That's literally kind of what the trailer's like. Even the Star Wars one, somewhere in space, this is happening now. Like, I love the art form of trailers and where they are now. But the Star Wars ones are, I say this respectfully, they're kind of cookie cutter. They've become that in the best way possible. They found something that has worked and they're always like, let's go back to them. And that allows people, you see like the modern trailers, you know, let's do Revenge of the Sith with the modern trailer. I'll stop and watch any one of those because I think they're great, but they follow that format because you know now this December you can bring in that font and the music swells and it's a thing now. I love it. It's like baking it's like a certain kind of pizza. I'm going to want that every time. And this trailer with the music and being so familiar in the moments and the beats, it really just swept me up. It really swept me up. And I'm watching this silly little Lego thing. I'm a lifelong Lego fan and collector. So I'm there too. And I think they've tapped into with the games, just a certain brand of humor. So it all works, but I got swept up, man. Like a lot of folks.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. There is a huge power in starting to see the Skywalker saga all tied together, even when it is a funny, silly Lego version.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring that up there specifically, Joseph. What do you feel about seeing prequel stuff? And then you got Rey and Kylo in Rise of Skywalker, those kind of things. A shot of like the cockpit, I do believe, with like Janna in there and everything. Like, how does that make you feel seeing it all on the table?
Yeah. It makes me feel just kind of excited about how all the different ways that you can think about the connections. Like, I think there's a voiceover that, you know, we're used to Obi-Wan saying something like that toward Luke, but it's over Rey. There are all those moments like that that are just really powerful. But then I had this super visceral reaction from a video game perspective of just how much more exploration we get to do of the sequel era, because there are a couple times where there are scenes where, like, I've played that scene in a video game, many different video games, thousands of times, right, because it's from the original trilogy or the prequels, and then it cut to a scene from like Rise of Skywalker where I've never got to be inside that scene. And it excited me not only that they were connected, but to start to be able to explore the sequel trilogy in the way, in the thorough way that we've culturally, you know, experienced the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. Like, toward the end, it's just a really quick cut. It goes from Obi-Wan and Maul fighting in the Theed power generator, which, like, I've played that in multiple video games, even in Battlefront 2. And then it cut to Finn riding in Orbach, you know, on the Star Destroyer. And, like, I love that moment, and I haven't got to do it yet. I haven't got to be it yet, the same way I have that Theed power generator lightsaber fight 1,000 times. And I'm like, it's so exciting to get to immerse myself in the new.
Yeah. Yeah. You just tapped into something pretty powerful there, because I always give the example of music. Your favorite artist releases an album and it changes your life, and the next one comes out and you go, well, it wasn't good as the last one. It didn't change my life. And then you find out it did, because the next album comes out and you go, well, that didn't change my life like the last one. That's just how we are. It's just how we are. I get it. And a lot of that is when it comes off the screen, it just kind of permeates into areas of your life. And video games for this generation and some of the generations just before is how that happens. I've talked often about big prequel moment for me was playing the original Battlefront 2 on Mustafar and having Padme's ruminations pop up one time while I was playing and me going, oh my gosh, this is moving me. And it was like 2005 or six, you know, right? And I thought I didn't like these movies. Oh man, there's something there. And I think you're right. And not to boil us down into any sort of defense or, hey, if you don't like Rise of Skywalker, you're going to like it after you play this game. No. But I just think what you're describing, because that's one of my favorite moments in the video game trailer, is seeing Finn riding a Lego horse, by the way, an Ormond, a Lego horse. And I've been purchasing those since 1982 or three, my first castle sets. Like, to see that, yeah, you're going to live that scene and it's going to become part of it, because you talk about Phantom Menace going around Theed Palace in Battlefront. Even now in Battlefront 2, I get lost. Like, oh, look, there's a picture of Padme. There's a picture of C.O. Bibble. It's just part of the fabric of my Star Wars love and heart now. So I can't wait. I think that's a great point, that you're going to finally be able to pull Rise of Skywalker off the screen and 7 and 8 and play it. Much like, as you always wonderfully observe, how many times do you have to learn to take down an AT-AT walker?
I noticed that was not in the trailer, which I was happy about.
Yeah, I bet it will. But not to go too far down the path. I just think it's a great point. And that's one of the things I loved about this Skywalker Saga trailer.
Yeah.
What are some of your highlights?
So I had two, one for just comedy, because it went by fast and I had to pause to go, is that what I think it is? There's the scene with Anakin on Mustafar and being rescued by Palpatine and some stormtroopers, and they are reeling up his torso and his legs like on a fishing line. It's like, damn, Lego, that is dark. That is dark. There's our R-rated Star Wars right there. Dark. And then as many people lost their minds. I lost my mind for playable Yaddle. That was one of those like, oh, man, it's so great to be in the community and see something that's, you know, generally speaking, kind of obscure. Some people probably know, like, what was the weird Lady Yoda? To know that there are many other people all crying out at once, enjoy playable Yaddle. What a phrase, what an idea, what a world. I'm excited for playable Yaddle.
Love that. Yeah, that's gonna be exciting for me. A couple moments, it's a big moment in the trailer, but I fell for it. The porgs, the how many porgs it take to be a Jedi, like when they flip around. I literally,
so funny.
I was expecting Luke to flip around. It was great use of just the porgs and the moment and the Lego humor. And then kind of going back to what we've been talking about, the shots of Rey and Kylo fighting on the ruins of the Death Star. I can't wait to get my hands on a controller for that sequence. I love that sequence. I love what it ends up being for, you know, the memory of Han and Rey and Leia's sacrifice, all that stuff. But also there's some moments, particularly like my first or second viewing, when I'm in the theater, seeing it where Rey does the big leap and there's water and then Kylo jumps after her. I just was like, this is crazy to watch. Like 10-year-old me is blown away right now. Just what a great stunt. When Kylo jumps and he kind of fades away into the water with the red blade. Oh my gosh, I just love it. And so to do that in Lego form, even if it's just Lego form, I almost prefer that it's Lego form. I'm excited for that. That was a big thing for me.
I'm looking forward to that moment, because that shot of Kylo disappearing into the wave, it cuts back to Finn, and it's serious, but it's also got that like, well, I guess I can't follow him.
Yeah.
I hope they play with that in the Lego version.
Yeah, take that pass. So that's great. A lot of stuff there. And release date now moved to spring of 2021. I don't know at this point, didn't do too big of a research dive on this as to why. Just, hey, a lot of things being moved right now, kind of par for the course. And I'm okay with that, because later on we'll talk about the other game coming out in October. I just kind of need one game at a time to focus on.
Absolutely. We are rich with books and video games right now.
Yes. Quick swing to this next story here. Sims 4 gets a new game pack, Journey to Batuu, a little trailer, and that Sims fashion. Get ready to explore and live and experience Batuu. Ray will be there. Vi Marati will be there. Hondo will be there, drinking apparently. And so will Kylo Ren and the Dreaded First Order. And as I said, you can drink there too, just like you can in Galaxy's Edge. So, Joseph, I know you and I don't play Sims. I played SimCity 2000 a lot in the mid-90s, but I never transitioned to Sims. I don't think you did, right?
No, I haven't. And I was, in fact, shocked to go like, what? Oh, Sims are this advanced? I didn't know.
There you go. But it's always fun to have great Star Wars content out. Even Star Wars and Fortnite, fine for me. Like, I don't mind it. I love it serves the purpose of what you said in the last story of just taking the story and putting it in different areas where it just becomes part of our lives. There is, though, a lot coming out related to Batuu, Galaxy's Edge. We've discussed this before. Do you have any other Batuu-related stuff that you would want, Joseph, that hasn't been released? And also, keep in mind, we got the Target Trading Post collection just released as well.
Yeah, no, there's some cool things in that Target Trading Post collection, and I like that it is becoming a part of Target. I like that in this sort of in-between time, between, you know, big screen releases, that they're really pushing Galaxy's Edge, not just as a place you can visit, but as a sort of a story point in Star Wars. I like that. I think the main thing I want, I'd love anything more lightsaber, because I love the whole story of Savvy's lightsaber shop, but the main thing I want is more Vi Marati stuff. I would love a Vi Marati action figure. I would love vintage, Black Series, both. I love that she gets to be highlighted. If they're going to do more storytelling, I would love if there was a sort of a third book in the Phasma Vi Marati trilogy of some kind. I'll pontificate on that some other time. But just big picture answer is Vi Marati. I want more Vi Marati stuff.
Yeah, and I know, look, I think a lot of people are happy that there's a Captain Cardinal Black Series figure. He's kind of key to the stories. But yeah, Vi missing, quite frankly. Vi is missing, and that's disappointing. So hopefully more, because she is a key part of that park. I was looking forward to, during my adventures in Galaxy's Edge, I wanted to see Rey, which I did, but I really wanted to find Vi and interact as a day-drinking 40-year-old in Star Wars land. Like, hey, come here. I got some information. Sir, this is a Disneyland still. So yeah, I totally am on board with that. And a lot of cool stuff. The plush stuff, I was raised with stuffed animals, on my bed as a kid. And I still fall for a good plush. The Ewok plush and some of those other stuff released, are fun. I won't add them to my collection right now.
Yeah, the Ewok plush is great. That was the only thing that really jumped out at me. I really like the emphasis on the Ewok's teeth.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the Ewok uses to eat the stormtroopers. I think just wanted to follow up quickly on the Cardinal thing. I realize it's great to have Cardinal. I'm happy to have Cardinal. I realize that it's easier with the armor to just do a repaint, and it's Cardinal now. I get it, and I am happy for him, but I still hope that Vi Marati becomes a priority as more and more people are exposed to her. The other thing that I thought would be at Galaxy's Edge that I want them to do a Jedi Master Luke Skywalker as made by Oni Hosaya action figure, homemade custom build that Oni Hosaya does to tell the story at the end of Last Jedi. I want that Luke.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, you could do that as a set, right?
Yeah, because then with the AT-ATs that he's got going, or AT-ATs, depending on how Oni Hosaya wants to say it.
Let's ask him. He'll decide. Yeah, you know what? That's a coffee table item right there.
Yeah, right? It'd be so great. And like, they've already kind of explored that, because they have the Stormtrooper doll that looks like the weird kind of little wooden block one that Jyn has, you know? So they've already got the kind of the toys within the world that you can get at Galaxy's Edge. I want that one.
I think that's great. Let's start a hashtag for that too. release the straw figure, Luke. There you go. Sims 4, we might not be playing it, but it's inspired good conversations about Batuu. It is an amazing land. I hope everyone listening at one point in your Star Wars love and life gets to experience it. I know not everyone has. or will. So we are honored and fortunate to have experienced it ourselves, and we'll keep trying to share the joy and love with all of you there. But hey, go get Sims 4 and feel like you're there. Star Wars Squadron, we had a big reveal at GamesCon. This is some more stuff and some confirmations, a little, I wouldn't say trailer, but like a little video with more information, more gameplay. But Joseph, you know, this, I wouldn't say there's anything, for me, there was anything too surprising in the gameplay, stuff we've already seen. And for me, the level of gamer that I am, I'm like, your trailers are great, but let me get my hands on it. Let me just play it.
Yeah.
I want to see that. But there were some great story things there. And you and I love the story of Star Wars. We love how it all fits in. So let's just roll through some of the things here and then talk about the story that's going to be rolling out in Star Wars Squadron. We have ISB spies, Imperial Security Bureau spies in the New Republic. This is the scattered remnants of the Imperial having some spies in the New Republic that's going to kind of spur the mission on. We're going to go to Hosnian Prime, which is very cool. There's a connection to see it. We will hear from Leia probably in the beginning, maybe a prologue, but she has a great speech. And as expected, that was Ray Sloan. We got confirmation on that. And Wedge talking to us there. So those are some big story points there. What do you think about what we learned there, Joseph?
Yeah, I like the story element that we're jumping back and forth between the being able to play New Republic pilots and being able to play the Shattered Empire pilots, because I think that's a great way to get into that element of Star Wars storytelling and themes of different points of view that I loved, is that we'll be able to kind of see like, well, here's what's going on and here's the two different perspectives. And I think this era of the Empire and Ray Sloan is such a fascinating thing that you and I have talked about, that my opinion, my take is, yes, the Empire is entirely evil because it is directed by Sheev, by Darth Sidious, by somebody who wants to spread pain and chaos. But then there are people like Ray Sloan who see this ideal of like, well, an organized, orderly society, you know, maybe really provides for people a little bit better. So this era of storytelling, like in Alphabet Squadron, where there are those loyalists who kind of realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe we supported some truly unforgivable, awful things, but maybe there's something worth saving there. And I'm hoping that the story gets into that juicy perspective of people in the Empire who are maybe still loyal to their wingmates or loyal to what the Empire could be in the future, but also realizing like, oh, wait, I was manipulated into committing atrocities. So we can get I always want to be careful when talking about point of view, because I'm not big into like the Empire was actually right. But I am into individual humans realizing their place in this machinery of evil that Darth Sidious put into place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you. And I think how I'm not expecting the great Ray Sloan think piece that I want in terms of storytelling. I think she's just going to be around the story, right? Driving these missions, sending you on things. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see. But how they handle Ray Sloan, I'll be watching. I think a lot of people will be watching to keep it true to what her perspective is, which is a leader of the Empire, like you say, but coming to the realization that this is not the Empire she envisioned or her empire indeed, and maybe getting a chance to do that in her own way. Like I want to see some of those connective threads, because the clip we have in this particular trailer is pretty good, but she's pretty forceful, right? And destroy the rebels type of New Republic type of vibe, which is in line with it. I'm not saying it's out of line. I'll be watching, because this is an important character to me and to a lot of people.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We're super excited that she's there. Let's see what they do. So, but I have confidence. I really have a lot of confidence. The Wedge thing was just kind of fun. I don't know. Wedge is a great character. I still go back to some of the Zahn stuff in the Heir to the Empire trilogy of just how he's just kind of, hey, I'm Wedge. I'm a kind of a bad second in a spy situation, but I'm a great pilot. And how Wendig presented him in Aftermath. I just kind of like him. And having pop back in Rise of Skywalker meant a lot. So I love this. It ties to the old Rogue Squadron stuff. I didn't really read or play those games as much as other people do, but I get it and I got it. And this is that vibe and they're going for that. So it's cool that Wedge is there.
Yeah, absolutely. I played the hell out of those Rogue Squadron games on the old N64. So I'm and the GameCube. So I'm super excited for that. I did the Hosnian Prime thing. I'm really interested in, because there is a little bit of canon. I don't know. I'm excited for the canon clarity, because Chandrila during the Battle of Jakku is still possibly they're talking about moving it, but it's still where the New Republic is emerging. So that kind of exactly when did they move their main base of operations from Chandrila to Hosnian Prime, or did they split? That's like just a very pedantic little, ooh, fun new canon information about how all that worked.
Yeah, I think clarification is a great way to look at it, because that was, I did have that thought too, because they do kind of refer to it as the capital, right? I gotta I'll double check that moment, but yeah, that's not the case in Aftermath, right? So, but the nice thing is the game developers and the game writers, especially with Project Starhawk and all that kind of stuff, you know, they've definitely been paying attention. So getting what you're saying, Joseph, is like clarification, and that's a fun thing I'm looking forward to. And it was just cool to see Hosnian Prime, you know, just in the story. I love those connections.
Yeah, and I love the idea that maybe, you know, you, by playing a video game, protecting it, you know, you will feel that pang even more the next time you watch The Force Awakens, and it won't just be random planet. It'll be like, I worked so hard to defend that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the future Chancellor Vilchim will be there. Maybe it'll be a top aide.
Oh, yeah, Junior Senator Vilchim. I would love that.
That's the Star Wars story we need.
Yeah. Can I share one other moment I liked?
Oh yeah, please do.
Yeah. I'm always excited to see Hera, but that one clip of her here, I think she said, I need you focused and ready. Like, I might cue that up to listen every morning. Like, that got me to like sit up straight and go, I need to do my work today.
We need to have that clipped out. Made into a Force Center official tone. No, it's great. Yeah, Hera's great too. She's all over this era of storytelling, and I do love it there too. Game is still being released October 2nd. No move on that. That, my friends, is right around the corner. Oh my gosh. As someone who woke up today and went, oh, it's the last day of August. Ah, got it. And we're releasing this on the first day of September. Oh boy, time she flies. So the game will be right here. Joseph will be diving in there. Any changes to your early thoughts on the game, anticipation wise, or what you're looking forward to? Anything changing, or is just kind of confirm, like, hey, put it in my hands?
Yeah, I think, you know, seeing this trailer again probably confirmed for me that I'm enough of a gamer that I'm looking forward to flying around and blowing things up. But I think what I'm most excited about is playing through it to experience the story. And I think this trailer really reinforced that for me.
Yeah, I agree. Looking forward to seeing what they have put out, because the Battlefront 2 storyline, one of my favorites, I really love it. Fallen Order has got some, I wasn't as huge fan of the game as other people. The story's got some great stuff in it. I understand people having powerful connections and reactions to that story. So they've been pretty good at this. I think the game, especially Battlefront 2, took some hits. They're pretty good at putting some cool story stuff out there. All right. Final little blip of a news thing. And look, even as we're recording, there's some more toy information. You can get some of the Celebration exclusives now on the general store over the weekend. It was ticket holders of Star Wars Celebration. A lot of that stuff out there. There's some cool things. By all means, Joseph, if there's something out there you want to talk about, we can toss it in here. But the final big thing, at least for me, was this was going to be a European convention exclusive. We all get it now, at least on October 1st here in the U.S. For us, Cad Bane and Toto 360 exclusive 2-pack. Cad Bane. This is the Black Series Rebel. Black Series Rebels. That's our friends Alex and Steve. Black Series figures. This is the Black Series figure. A lot of people have been wanting this one. We finally get it. It looks great. There's a lot of points of articulation. That's valuable. And then Toto, the droid. What do you think about this figure, Joseph? Just first, the existence of it.
Oh, I'm very happy for it because I like Cad Bane. I really like Cad Bane a lot, but then I know there are other people who love Cad Bane. So I'm happy for myself. And I know for other people, this is a huge Cad Bane dream come true.
Very. What is your Cad Bane dream? What do we like and or love? You're right. There's different levels of appreciation, but I think in general, he's one of the more appreciated characters across the board. What do we like or love about Cad Bane in the Star Wars story?
I think he was just one of the bounty hunters. Like, depending on, you know, when you grew up, you liked Boba Fett or Bossk or Dengar. You're fascinated with what's possibly the deal with IG-88. If you grew up with the prequels, you got a little bit more bounty hunter on screen from Jango Fett or the bounty hunter video game. But in the Clone Wars animated series, like, Cad Bane is one of those bounty hunters that we finally really just got to see a cool, badass bounty hunter go bounty hunt. And like actually do a bunch of different missions. I think the Western vibe combined with this space fantasy of Star Wars, the hat, the voice, the space toothpick, everything is just, he is just cool. He's kind of like what I think draws us to bounty hunters. Just a cool badass who seems to be amoral, but a little bit of a man of mystery. We're not really going to know the full truth about him. And then on top of all that, that he is in this era and he's like, Jedi are not as big a deal as they think they are. And he seems to have a little bit of a grudge against them and he's really equipped to deal with them. And we get to see that. And, you know, he's really, you know, taking the wind out of the Jedi and out of their pomposity. Like all that combines to just make a really cool, interesting character, even though we don't know a ton about him. And that adds to his mystique.
Yeah, a lot of mystique there. And for me, stuff I've kind of said before, I've been written before, just like, I am convinced that this, I can't believe, let me start over here. I can't believe this character worked, if I'm being honest. If you look at the design, which I look at and go, yeah, cool design. But if you look at it, the wide brimmed cowboy hat, he's a Clint Eastwood movie come to life. He's a spaghetti Western in Star Wars, even down to his blasters and the duster. And I, you know, I love my Red Dead Redemption 2 and Young Guns, whether you consider those Westerns or not, I don't care, but I love that stuff, right? I love it. And to have him show up in Star Wars with a space toothpick, even like, you come on, like there's like, what are you doing? Like, are you joking? You just totally just, he's a cowboy bounty. I'm like, he's an outlaw bounty hunter. And it works. Corey Burton brings great life to this character. And when he shows up, and you and I are doing the chronological rewatch of Clone Wars, which is a little different, but when he shows up in the actual show, the way they did it when it was aired, he shows up, you're in the middle of the, he brings his deadly edge to this show that even though from the get-go, Clone Wars was already saying, like, we've got some serious things we're dealing with, it kind of made you stand up and pay attention and go, whoa, he's killing people. He's taking people hostage. We got some bounty hunting, like you said. We got some serious stuff. Not that it's all about being gritty and all that kind of stuff, but it does fall into that bucket. And so I really like that. I am a big Cad Bane fan and don't know. And it might be, Joseph, to what you said, I just don't know a lot. There's some story there. There's some layers. And it's just one of those things where all the pieces kind of added up to something wonderful. That said, I have no room at the inn for this figure.
Yeah, I need to think carefully about shelf space and whether or not Cad Bane will have that honor. He has many honors, but whether or not I can take the shelf space. I love what you're saying. Maybe that is what's so great about him. He shouldn't work, but he does, because you're right. He is just Clint Eastwood combined with an alien that landed at Area 51, allegedly. Like, I love the Duros, right? But the Duros are kind of just like, they're the Star Wars version of like the stereotypical, I was abducted by an alien. Oh, no, that was a Duros. Actually, Cad Bane. I had an assignment to pick you up. That's what happened.
Yeah. Is it a gray? No, it's a Duros. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think, yeah, there you go. Well, Cad Bane exists. Any other toys kind of released this morning or anything that grabs your attention, Joseph? I don't know. There was a Wampa I saw, but I haven't dug too deep.
Yeah, no, I didn't get it. I looked at some of the celebration stuff and the same things. Like, there's some really great, really awesome stuff. But in the great battle of how much do I love it, how much do I have shelf space, nothing I needed. So happy to discuss it down the line, but nothing else I needed to discuss today.
Yeah, and coming September 25th and 26th, Hasbro PulseCon, a two-day virtual event. So we'll be covering all the toy news that no doubt come out then. So that is our look at Star Wars news for now. Yes, we are awaiting the trailer, capital T. We're waiting for it, but we are going to discuss it when it comes out, and we can't wait for that. Before we move on, we're going to take a quick break and reset. But before we do that, we'll have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us, Joseph.
That's right. We are recommending Thrawn Ascendancy, Chaos Rising by Timothy Zahn. We will be digging in to discuss this first book in a new Thrawn trilogy soon. So make sure that you're all caught up by getting this audiobook.
And we are going to be giving you all some time to do that. The review not quite coming. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. For your free audio book, though that book is sitting on my coffee table right now where I want that straw figure look. All right, we are going to be taking a quick break on the other side. Some great questions from all of you here at Force.
Center. This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome Welcome back to Force Center, episode 249 in an ongoing series about Star Wars. Yes, yes. It's just one of the shows, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. Joseph, every Friday I try to go back over my cups of coffee to fix older episodes that might be broken in the big switchover that we did last year. We lost some episodes. I'm trying to fix them. And as always, if you go back and listen to an old episode and it cuts off, just, hey, let us know or something so I can go focus on that episode. Anyways, point being, we have done, we're coming up on over 800 to, we're in the eight, almost approaching 1,000 total broadcasts. It's crazy.
My goodness.
I was going back and listening to some of the early ones, which my old cheaper mics, my old different settings, you and I broadcasting literally over a box in my room at my old apartment. Our growth, particularly just focus on some of my growth as a fan. It's all there. It's exciting. It's fun. We can't thank all of you for helping us or being here. At whatever point you join the circus, man, we appreciate you supporting us. We've got questions from those wonderful members of our listening audience today, Joseph.
That's right. We always get questions from both social media and from our patrons on Patreon. We're going to go to Twitter first. Long time listener and great question asker. We're starting with from Twitter, Yuval Aislar. And Yuval asks, he says, Jedi Temple Challenge made me think about the Jedi Trials. In story, we still don't really know what they include. We saw their essence in stories like Cal Kestis, Ezra Bridger, Luke, and even Ahsoka in a way. Would you like to see in any form what are the official trials or leave them as a mystery? This is a great question. This is one of those. This is why I'm so glad that I do a Star Wars podcast with you after all these years, because this is the kind of thing I'll just wonder about and think about while I'm brushing my teeth anyway. So instead, I get to have a discussion with other human beings about it. This is great. I double checked. And yeah, right now in modern canon, there is no official answer to what the official trials are. We first heard about them in The Phantom Menace when Qui-Gon says that Obi-Wan's got some rough edges, but he is ready to take the trials. That's been reinforced a couple different times that there are some sort of official tests, official trials that Jedi can go through, but all the Jedi that we get to spend time with end up having a surprise trial. Obi-Wan's defeat of Phantom Menace, of Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. Obi-Wan did not defeat the Phantom Menace, sadly. But Obi-Wan's defeat of Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace is seen as his trial, which is why he's elevated to a knight at the end of the movie. Ahsoka, when she is put on trial in the Clone Wars, and the Jedi have the, whoops, that was our bad. By the way, we think that's your Jedi trial. This is a very interesting Jedi idea that, well, we have these official trials, but we're trying to be open and flowing. So sometimes life events happen and that is your organic trial that happened. But we don't know the official ones. So, Ken, how do you feel about this? Do you want to know the official trials? Do you want to see them in a story, or do you like them being a mystery?
Yeah, because and I even knew this question was coming, and I'm thinking of more things as I'm going on. First of all, I'm laughing because that's still one of my, and even though it's a tremendously serious arc, just Plo Koon and their other Jedi going, Ahsoka, how would you like to use that as your trial? Congratulations, you passed. Still a great moment.
It really is it's just so dark. Like, we let you down so bad, but we got you a car for graduation.
Sorry, I've missed all your Christmases. Here's a tricycle. Yes. I love that. I know in the original, the Tartakovsky Clone Wars, you got a little bit of Anakin in some of his trials, right? Or is at least some great stuff there. But
that was, again, a story of you encountered something that is clearly, that was the will of the Force that was meant to be your trial. So we won't have you take this set of standard tests.
Standard trials. Right. So there you go. So, yeah, I think I do. I'm using this opportunity to pitch my Disney Plus show, Kelleran Beck and the Jedi Trials, a scripted show about him taking some young Padawans through their trials, or some Padawans who are a little bit older and ready to take the trials. I would really sincerely love that. So, yeah, I think I would. Yeah, getting all those answers sometimes is not what you want. I do like that it's kind of a mystery. Like, is part of the test written? Is it like Will Smith and the first Men in Black just try to fill out that paper uncomfortably on that chair. Is that part of the trials? What is it?
Yeah.
We're the best of the best, sir. I want that. So yeah, I'm open to it. And High Republic could be a good way to show it.
Ooh, yeah. And I think that is a good possibility. Yeah. But I love the idea that it's the Jedi SATs. You take your written exam, your oral exam, you confront your fear, and you kick some ass with a lightsaber. You're a Jedi now. I think the reason that I'm really open to seeing them is because we've seen other or heard about other rituals at different stages on the path to becoming a Jedi. And I don't think they have taken any of the mystery away from me. It hasn't become like too boring and predictable, like the gathering arc in the Clone Wars, where we see more about how the young Padawans go to Ilum and, you know, learn about themselves by finding the crystal that calls them and have to overcome the thing that is bothering them. That for me did not like make lightsabers less mystical or fun. In fact, the opposite. It was really cool. I believe we heard about some Padawan trials of younglings trying to take that next step into becoming a Jedi's Padawan in the Dooku Jedi Lost audio drama. And that didn't ruin anything for me. So I feel like there is a way to tell the story of the Jedi trials without, you know, as we were just joking, without making them feel like, oh, you're just filling out your application for grad school, you know? And I think I would be interested in High Republic telling that story. I would be interested in a random one-off book or animated show that's, you know, a Jedi and a Padawan in the era, the general prequel era, and just really a story that is about the trials of, like, maybe, you know, that'd be, it wouldn't even be too cheeky for me to have, like, a Jedi be like, I've heard of all these Jedi who had a surprise trial. You know, are they kind of like, are they jealous of Obi-Wan? Like that he had this real world experience, and there's a handful of Jedi who had this real world experience and they were judged to be their trial and then they didn't have to do the trials, you know, and a young Padawan hoping for that to be their experience, but they end up having to do the trials. I think that would be neat. And the other thing for me is because the Gennady Tartakovsky stuff is not canon, I would really love to have a story about Anakin's Jedi trials.
Yeah, that'd be great. And follow me on this. I absolutely think the Jedi trials, as you described them, are real. There's something set. There's something there that's in the Jedi Order that everyone goes through or intends to go through or has to go through. But I love the idea that maybe the Force is like, nah, a pox on your trials. The true trials are what life gives you. And that every Padawan thinks they're going to go to the trials, but before they do, something horrible happens or something challenge happens. And at the end of it, you're like, well, guess what? That was your actual trial. I don't even have to take the test. No, the Force wanted to teach you this way. I don't know. I could follow that path too.
Yeah. A funny thing happened on the way to the Jedi trials. Yeah.
That's the book.
That's the book. And I do love just the last thing I'll have to say about it is I love that it is something that has continued. I feel like in Return of the Jedi, when Yoda is telling Luke that he has to face Vader again before he becomes a Jedi, that's a real, you know, improvised but honest but truthful. You have to confront your greatest fear. I think when Luke is telling Rey that she really does need to go to Exegol and confront her fear, I think that's Rey's Jedi trial. Great stuff, as you've all said, with Cal Kestis and with Kanan Jarrus and Rebels and all sorts of great stories. I love how consistent that is of even when the Jedi Order isn't, you know, really formalized anymore, that there are still that's still a necessary step to be considered a Jedi Knight, as you really have to face, most importantly, you know, your fear and pass through a challenge where you're not being held back by your fear.
Yeah, I like that. That's my answer.
We got a bunch of answers. So thanks for the great question. We're going to move on to a question from another Star Wars podcast. Thank you for sending it in. This comes from Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I love the clarity in the Twitter handle, so there's no ambiguity there. So thank you for sending that in. And the question from Radio Rebellion is, favorite reprogrammed Imperial droid, I2O or K2SO? I think most people know K2SO. For those people who have not read the Alphabet Squadron books, ITO is a reprogrammed interrogation droid, or mind probe, as it was called back in A New Hope, a torture droid that has been reprogrammed to be a therapy counseling droid. So, Ken, where do you land on this? Do you have a preference between the two?
Well, first of all, I would have thought Radio Rebellion was just a podcast every week about Elvis Costello's radio song. That's what I would. Now, glad to have them listening and on board. I'm going to say my easy answer is K2. I really do love K2. I love what he does. I love the sacrifice. It pulls on my heartstrings. And I think it's just funny. I think it was in a Star Wars world where there's always some kind of quirky droid. And I don't mean that cynically or sarcastically. It's just part of what happens a lot in these stories. K2 still stands tall for me. But I am wonderfully creeped out by ITO. That makes sense, especially in the last book. That droid is growing on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I don't think I can actually pick a favorite between the two because they work so well in their given mediums. Like, there's a part of me that wants to have a knee-jerk reaction and say I2O. But I think the things I love about ITO are because the way the character is explored in a book that you wouldn't necessarily fully get in a movie. I love K2SO's snark. I love that he is a droid that is a snark with heart, that he does seem, even though he's been reprogrammed himself, that he does seem to care about and worry about Cassian. And I love that he doesn't just have this sudden change of heart for Jyn, but that he recognizes that her randomness is sometimes, you know, something that can be looked up to, the way he's so honored when she gives him the blaster. I think that's a great moment. And then, you know, really feel it when the light goes out in poor K2SO's eyes. So I do love him. But ITO is so fascinating to me on a couple levels. One, just like, that's from the original film, right? And the mind probe at that time was like, that's kind of a one of the many generic things that Lucas pulled into Star Wars and made not generic by the way it was executed. Mind probe, I was just watching an old Doctor Who episode that came out years before A New Hope, and there's a mind probe in there. You know, I'm sure there's a million weird, dusty science fiction books that have a mind probe of some kind. And then the mind probe is also one of those things that always strikes me as many people would be so upset with a floating space ball that has an earth syringe on the side, right?
Yes. Talking about now? Yeah.
Yeah. But back then it was just cool. So I feel like it's something that the mind probe could have maybe not stood the test of time. And I like when the books go back and sort of make something that maybe wasn't going to stand the test of time really different and cool and scary. And there's books have been doing that for years. And I think Splinter of the Mind's Eye has a bunch of stuff about how awful that torture was from that horrible little death ball. But ITO, you know, takes it to this next level for me.
Yeah. It's well said on the idea of just like going back and recontextualizing and repurposing something and adding new meanings. And again, the fact that it's now used for more therapy versus what it was originally intended for. It's a great little story around this droid. A great little story, like it's this cute little thing. So I'm there on that. I do love that a lot. But yeah, I think it's two mediums. It's not exactly apples, oranges, but it's, you know, I don't know if this ITO could work in a film. Wouldn't have worked in Rogue One, right? We would have been like, well, this little ball's just floating around. I don't know. So that's why I decided to side with the K2 in this one. But yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy and it works. I thought it was really effective.
Yeah. And I think what's the most cool about ITO to me is that there's this terrifying connection between being a torture droid and a therapy droid, in that both of their jobs are to elicit truthful answers.
Yeah.
But one is in the most cruel, vicious way possible, and one in theory is, let's unearth your trauma so you can deal with it and move forward. And the fact that the droid still is kind of doing the same job, trying to get answers, but in different ways, is really frightening and intriguing. And, you know, my favorite passage really in one of my favorite passages in Alphabet Squadron is when something makes ITO mad and his little syringe shakes. And like, I think in a movie that might be hard to execute, but in a book, it's terrifying and beautiful.
Exactly.
So there we go, Radio Rebellion. We like them both, but for different reasons. We're going to move on to our questions from patrons on Patreon. First up, we have a question from Will Culbertson. Will says, as their library of live-action and animated Disney Plus shows continues to grow, do you think Lucasfilm would ever consider reinventing the Star Wars Holiday Special so that instead of doing a quirky variety show, they would take a cue from Doctor Who and drop a special episode of one of their streaming shows on Christmas Day? They could even play around with the Christmas present concept and not reveal which series was getting a special episode until Christmas morning. So this is great. I think that Will sent this in before there was the announcement of the Lego Special Life Day. But that's Lego, right? That's still leaning into the this is outside of the norm. This is probably going to have some jokes about variety show. And I think what Will is saying, being a fan of Doctor Who, for those who don't know, it's been a long tradition of the new series that the season will end. There'll be about 10 episodes, and then you'll have an adventure that is broadcast on Christmas Day. Lately, it's been New Year's Day instead. And sometimes it'll be all in, like it's evil Christmas tree robots that are trying to kill the Doctor and his companions. And other times it'll just be kind of an adventure that happens at Christmas, or it'll be a riff on a Christmas carol. But it's sometimes they're one-offs. Sometimes they're actually really big, important episodes in the story of Doctor Who. But there's just this communal feeling of it drops on Christmas Day. And that's a part of the tradition for fans, you know, regardless of how much you actually celebrate Christmas, that you can look forward to that day to like a very special episode of Doctor Who. So I think the spirit of that, of Will saying like, what if it wasn't like supposed to be cute or a variety show, but it was just on Christmas Day, a one-off special of Mando and the Child celebrate Life Day without being cute or weird, right? But it's a sincere episode. What would that be like?
I guess maybe even what I would have thought I would have answered a while ago. I'm in on this idea. In the spirit of what you're describing it and what I think Will's going for, the Mando and the Child as an example. I don't know, those kind of holiday shows, every sitcom's had one, or, you know, a script. There's always that one where, oh, it's snowing in our city. I don't know what it tugs on your heartstrings, and it's powerful or it's mystical. There's a odd reference to make it right now, but there's a real weird, weirdly powerful, touching one with the show My So-Called Life with Julianna Hatfield, the rock and roll star at the time, coming in playing an angel. Like, there's I'm kind of in on that. And if you would do it in a sincere way and no itchy watching, you know, Diane Carroll's thing, I don't know. Hey, maybe not. Maybe that could work. No Life Day song needed. I think going to the spirit of the season, again, like you said, Joseph, regardless of how much you celebrate or what you celebrate during that time, or if you celebrate at all, the spirit of the season could be present in some Star Wars stories. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but I'd be open to it. I want my Star Wars holiday heartstrings pulled.
Yeah, yeah. So what would you, of the existing shows or shows that we know are coming, what grabs you? I mean, Life Day has been mentioned already in The Mandalorian. Would you be interested in, you know, The Mandalorian has a job on some planet that celebrates Life Day, and that, you know, that contrast of like, I gotta do my job, but I have to be respectful to the beliefs of these people I'm with, or, you know, Cassian, that's extra horrible. Like, I need to spy on these these Imperials, but also I'm on this planet that celebrates this day, and I have to reflect on what it means in the midst of this horror. Like, what grabs you?
Could you, like Cassian spying on like an Imperial officer, and it's like Imperial officer goes home to his family.
Oh,
that's like a Christmas carol. That'd be tough. I think the Mando one's good if you have found family, and, you know, and Cara Dune has to, like, all right, let's wrap gifts. Let's, you know, here the child, here's a part of the joystick of the ship. Here you go. I think that can be sweet. Like Kenobi having to celebrate something by himself and just knowing what he's there for, and he can't, you know, he leaves a gift, as we know he's done from a certain point of view thing. You know, sometimes is considered loose canon. You know, he does that, leaving little carved gifts for Luke, and Beru's like, great. And no one's like, get the F out of here. if you could tie that into Obi-Wan as Santa Claus, work.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would be happy to just have that expanded of Obi-Wan's, you know, adventure, finding some material to whittle into a, a spaceship.
Could you imagine, like, all right, you cast a young Luke, he's 8 or 9, and he's down at Tatooine Elementary School telling his friends, and you know, there's no such thing as space claws. And then he gets starts these gifts start showing up leading up to Life Day, and he starts believing in hope and things outside of his comprehension, and it's really Obi-Wan whittling in the hut and leaving these secret gifts for him, and starts snowing on Tatooine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, I mean it's so great because you could easily do it with a light sense of humor, but it's also like, you know, you're talking about the long tradition of different television shows doing Christmas or holiday specials, and you know, a lot of times from a kind of larger secular perspective, and I mean no disrespect to anybody with specific beliefs, but just that larger secular idea of the holidays are this time where no matter how much crisis or chaos or anger or combat is going on, that it's a time that everybody kind of has this external event to stop and remember the idea of being kind and selfless and the power of giving someone else a gift. Like, that could easily tip into something cheesy, but if you played it right and you had a character on a planet that had a tradition like that, like no matter what other horror is going on, we stop to like respect one another on this day and have a character have to go through that and go like, how do I, you know, is this a great opportunity to reconnect with my humanity, or is it just, you know, this struggle to be like, well, yeah, but tomorrow, today's Life Day, but tomorrow we're back to shooting at each other.
I think you could do it. And just, yeah, I think you could. Will they? No. Could they? Should they? Should we have the moment of Palpatine sitting on his throne? Simalu, come in here. I got you something. Oh, thanks, Bob.
Yeah. And then the royal guards are waiting and he's, leave us.
Leave us. Did you? And then that royal guard goes home. Honey, did you get a Christmas bonus? No. It was just the Ronto Jelly of the Month Club.
Ronto Jelly of the Month Club. There we go. There we go. I'd like your definitive answer. Could it work? Yes. Will they do it? No. I think we might have to wait for a while, but I think it's a great idea, Will Culbertson. And we'll see, I think, how popular the Lego Life Day special is and see if that changes some hearts. We're going to move on to our final question from a longtime listener and great question asker, Kai Thatch. Kai asks, let's imagine that the Clone Wars theatrical release was the first film in a trilogy, and that the final arc of season 7 was the final film in said trilogy. What other arc from the Clone Wars do you think could serve as the middle film? Wow. I love this question, and I hate it because it's so hard.
This is the one that I had to start jotting down some notes, and I still don't think I have the right answer.
Yeah, I think I have an answer of what it. I don't like words like should, but I think the answer that like structurally, narratively makes the most sense to me. But then I have other ones that I would want it to be. So, yeah. Ken, why don't you start? What are you thinking? What are you wrestling with?
So, if we got the start of the war, basically going on with what we get in the Clone Wars theatrical release, you know, not the hard start, but we're in the beginning stages, and then we end with how it all wraps up, right? I want some stuff in the middle, but I want to transition from clones fighting to what we get at the end and the Order 66 and Rex and all that stuff. So I definitely want the Fives and Tup arc from season 6 in there. Ooh. That's the Kenny Lucas written, you know, Chip and Fives does the investigation. But I want to cheat. I want to cheat, Kai. And I want to interweave and have interwoven into that the Mortis arc, which I know that's probably an arc people go to a lot, but I think in terms of Anakin, there's a lot about Anakin's fall I'd want to get to. Moments, Rush Clovis and all that kind of stuff. I think of the Tarkin, rescuing Tarkin and the conversations they're having. There's a lot of those little things I'd love to see in there. But if you could cut back to some mystical, magical, chosen one prophecy kind of stuff, I could live that. But then again, I'm thinking, Ahsoka, leaving the Jedi Order. Oh, God, can this be a four-legy?
Yeah, this is one of these Douglas Adams trilogies that has more than three in it, right?
The increasingly inaccurately named trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's some great wrestling. I think for me, there's that part of like, well, what do I want just as a fan? But, you know, how does that balance out with, you know, what would tell the best story? Like, so like mm-hmm. when I read this, I'm like, ooh, I want the whole Obi-Wan Satine Maul relationship, you know, and Maul's return and takeover of Mandalore. I bundled that into you could bundle those with some cutting and pasting into a great movie. I'm like, yeah, but I don't think that's the story of Clone Wars. That's one of my favorite stories in Clone Wars. But I feel like, especially with the way the first movie is set up and the final movie in this version at the end of season 7, it really frames the Clone Wars as Ahsoka's story. And that question of having Anakin, was Anakin having a Padawan, is it going to make a difference in a good way? Or is it just going to be another attachment for him to lose? But also just like, who is Ahsoka? How does she survive and become the Jedi she is meant to be by going through the Clone Wars? So my mind goes to the gathering of her being responsible for all these Padawans. So she's kind of taking this next step of going from a student to looking over students. And I love that arc. But I think what I would want to do is the Jedi who knew too much arc, the arc where she leaves the Jedi Order. Maybe I'm really, really fascinated with your idea of interweaving a couple stories. So like, I think if you could interweave the Fives discovering the chip with Ahsoka in having to leave the Jedi Order, that might be perfect, because then it really makes it's about the clones. It's about Ahsoka. You got Anakin's presence is super important, but it's more about the clones and Ahsoka, which is the way the final film feels to me.
I think that's really tasty, because episode 2 of this trilogy would end with some real dread and doom, right?
Like, yeah,
it's gone, and now there's something going on with this chip. Like, what does this mean going forward? Yeah, that could be great.
Yeah, yeah, that is a beautifully difficult question that makes you really consider for yourself what do you value most about the Clone Wars, and what is really ultimately the story of Clone Wars to different fans.
Yeah, I mean, we are forgetting the Riff Tamsin arc, but, you know, maybe not.
Water War. It's got to be Water War. And I think if we asked Lucas, he would say the Meeber Gascon D-Squad arc, right?
Yeah, just like, it's the movie I gave you guys, the frog guy.
It's got a lot of depth.
I think that's George. That's as it's been stated, is George's favorite Clone Wars arc. And I don't even think he cares to know what Meeber's name is. I don't think
I honestly think that he both loves that, and I think he also loves poking the bear and going like, you know what? No, I like the one you guys don't like. Tough.
my episode 7, 8, 9 was just a frog and a shrimp fighting in a war.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we finally saw the notes for Lucas's treatment, and it's like, oh, there's a Jedi killer, but then there's a New Hope, and also most of this is about Babu Frick.
Yeah, that's what it is. Winner.
Yes, sometime we will see the Babu Frick arc that was to be 7, 8, and 9. But for now, that's our questions. Those are our answers. Thank you, Kai. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Radio Rebellion. And thank you, Yuval. All great, thoughtful questions. That is it for questions, Ken.
Man. Yeah, loved it. Good stuff today. Hey, if you want to reach out and have a question for us or join the conversation, find us on Twitter, Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Force Center. We are on Instagram, YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available in a lot of spots, including our home, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. And yes, I am looking in right now to how you get on Amazon Music and Audible. They're starting to open that up to podcasts too, so stay tuned for that. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Find a tier best suiting your desires of support. But the top tier, you get a free set of Force Center trading cards designed by the great Brian Ward. We have our own things we're working on as well. You can go to kennapsack.com to follow all my adventures, including, if you're listening this week, a live comedy show, virtual live, will be at the Viper Room. Mark Ellis and friends, me and Josh McCuka co-hosting the show. You'll be watching safely at home. Go to markellislive.net for more information on that. Joseph, we always like to highlight some charities that we're both fond of here. I have the charity spotlight tab on my website, but this week I'm highlighting Magic Wheelchair. This was nominated and pointed to me by my friend Michelle Boyd, who does a lot of cosplay at conventions and everything. And so she got plugged into Magic Wheelchair, which is all about giving kids in wheelchairs an unforgettable experience by creating custom costumes for them at no expense to their families. Go to magicwheelchair.org for more information. Joseph, what do you got, sir?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. I will probably continue to post old pictures from Star Wars Celebration because I only go outside so much to get the new photos. You can also find all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. Links to my other podcast, Obsessed, old comedy albums. I recently had the 1-year anniversary of the last comedy album I released, which ironically is called Joseph Scrimshaw Versus Time. I didn't think of how that would feel as it aged. have to relive that battle constantly. All of us versus time. The thing that I would like to highlight this week is this website called Vote Forward. I've mentioned it before on the podcast. Basically, you just print out some letters, some just straightforward information, and then write a little personal note telling other people why you choose to vote. It doesn't even have to be partisan. It can just be why you think it is important to vote. You send that out to people, and it really does work. They've got a bunch of data to back it up that really encourages that little boost, encourages people to get out the vote, and it just helps voter turnout in general. So that place is called Vote Forward, and the website is vote, and then fwd.org.
There you go. Great stuff. We appreciate all of you listening and sharing Star Wars adventures with us. It's an honor every week. So we'll see you next week. Race out and buy yourself those plush Ewoks before me and Joseph take them on. We'll see you next week. This was Force Center.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.